Once again, my friends George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we're here with Commander Jay Furman, who is a candidate for congressional office in District 28, which is Laredo. It stretches from Laredo to San Antonio. And it's important because this position, this congressional district, has not been held by a Republican in a long, long time. So we wanted to get him on and chat with him and find out what he's all about, introduce him to you folks. Commander, thank you for taking time to be with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, George. Really an honor to be on. I appreciate it. I love your program, and your viewership or listenership is exceptional by reputation. I am Commander Jay Furman. I am recently returned back to Texas after 28 years of military service, and we settled in San Antonio. And after a post-military border mission with the child sex trafficking NGO friend of mine, I resolved to try to do something about the border because the border resembles African borders I've been on. And it's my military opinion that we're a half chapter away from racing to an end of this book, this country that none of us are going to like. And so my message is really beginning in the campaign for us to gather together and to once again do the Texas thing and defend Texas sovereignty, and therefore, and by doing so, as it demonstrated in Eagle Pass, defend the country. So truly right now, George, my catchphrase, and I hope it catches on, is Texas is America's Alamo right now.
Tell us a little bit about your background. Why do you think you can serve this district that has a large border to it, as well as stretches up into the San Antonio area?
Yeah, excellent question. So, you know, as mentioned, my 28 years, half that time I was a pilot flying around for the Navy, and the other half I was a foreign area officer. And so I found myself on those strange African borders and many others on different continents. And truly, security comes first. Everywhere that I have lived in the world, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, begins with security. And so it doesn't matter what your neighbors left or right of you think. If the other villagers are coming to burn yours down, you band together for survival. If you care about living, everything else fades away. Now, myself personally, my values match very closely, if not exactly, to South Texans, most South Texans. If I could stereotype us now, we're family first, God first, and believe in limited government and just taking care of our own. And then, you know, the federal government can stay out of our way. We have become inverted as a country. Texas and the rest of the states have ceded too much power and money, our money, to D.C. And that's just a tyranny distance that we're being robbed blind with. And we look at examples like Ukraine funding that gets sent over, and it seems that our representatives aren't representing us anymore. So I had two fortunate or unfortunate Pentagon tours, and that's where I retired from, in fact. And I went to a lot of functions with lawmakers and other power brokers as functions of my duty. And this Texan's opinion that most folks out there are feeding out of the same trough. There's very few individuals that are actually representing we the people and truly understand that we don't have Democrats and Republicans anymore. We have the uniparty or the establishment party that really profits the status quo, and then all the rest of us that are being sold down the Rio. And so really you have to start with security, because if you don't have that, then you don't have liberties and you can't be profitable. You can't ensure your family's future and be prosperous. So, but you know, the security is a two-sided coin with economy. If you can't pay for it, you can't defend yourself. So at the same time that we need to secure the border, we have to increase commerce in the largest port in the country in Laredo. And, you know, we have to keep that alive and we have to increase infrastructure to support that. It's extremely important. But we have to also defend our families. So defending what, you know, Texans are about is what I'm about. The cultural attack in our schools and our civil places and the military are untenable for a country that, our country, that wants to continue with the same blessing it's had all these years. And then so, you know, and take a you know, a liberty. You know, they all seem under attack. First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, all of it. These don't match Texas values where the Biden Democrats have taken us. And the current leadership in District 28 votes with the Biden administration 96% of the time. It may be, you know, pro-life and you know, technically, but, you know, that kind of whitewashes the rest of it. And say nothing of his current legal trouble. These are things that we've heard for years about that regime. And so the queer dynasty, if you will, is it looks like it's crumbling around them. And, you know, they've put in their service and whatever the facts bear out in this legal examination, you know, either way, it's time for South Texas Valleys to match the representation in D.C. and for Texans to be represented there instead of D.C. represented in Texas.
You raised a very interesting point here, because Laredo is the number one land entry point for export imports in the United States. It's huge. As well as the areas around South Texas in your district had a lot of fracking. A lot of fracking that was producing a lot of natural energy. Both of those are a lot of people are in fear that we're going to that if you get elected, you're going to see the earth hurt by opening up energy again, American energy again, or that the security at the border is going to hinder the trucking industry, the import industry. What are your thoughts when you hear that?
No, those are great questions, and those are questions that need to be asked. And so we need to moderate what we do with an eye to, we do security with an eye to keeping commerce alive. And I've already spoken about that a little bit. Let's talk about energy. You know, God's given us this abundant natural resource in the Eagle Ford Shale, and truly it is a blessing there. We off-gas, you know, I don't know how many BTUs of natural gas. The number seems to grow every time I hear it. So, you know, I could quote it, but it's an amazing amount of uncaptured potential. And that's a clean version. You know, that combined with the wet stuff coming out of the ground, we need to harness it to get out of the current situation we are. We talked about economy. We're $35 trillion in debt. We're gaining another trillion every 3 months. Very soon, we can't afford the service on the interest alone. You know, basically, we've given ourselves a one of those old balloon, loans as a country, and we're just... We're headed towards a recession like we've ever had. It won't be a recession, you know. My economist friends tell me it's going to be a thud, and maybe a continued fall, because we don't have anybody to fall back on. We are the fallback country. When England collapsed after World War II, they had us. There is no U.S. for the United States. There is no country we can go to if we mess this up. And I want to be very clear, my international experience tells me that we are, in fact, not only an exceptional nation, we are the essential nation. So if the engine of our economy quits and goes into a sputter, Western Europe will come to a screeching halt. Eastern Europe and Russia won't have customers. The whole thing is a chain. And China won't have a customer, and Latin America. So, my experience in D.C. tells me also that, you know, there is that uniparty and the establishment party, and a good portion of those folks don't believe in the provincial nation state anymore. They don't like to be bounded by something as old fashioned as the United States Constitution. They feel like they're beyond a state. And it's dangerous. And so when you have unchecked, and what that means to me in my experience is unchecked power. Everywhere I saw a country where leadership had unchecked power and access to resources without oversight, it wasn't long before that country collapsed. I worked in Niger a long time. That country's in a coup right now. I was dropped in the middle of a coup in Centrafrique, Central African Republic. And that country is a resource grab, and it's, you know, unaccountability. And the UN showed up there. The world, body that, you know, houses the WEF and the people that are, you know, taking some of our elite into the lie that we can have utopia on Earth. That, you know, communism, you know, time and again, man keeps on trying to place God with Babylon. and with the idea that man can figure this out and create, some heaven on earth. And every time we do that as a species, if you will, we kill more people than wars have killed. You know, Stalin, Lenin, Mao. The way that I understand what's happening in the United States is we are sliding away from the Lord as a country, and we are sliding towards man-made solutions and the idol of government. And people are also, receding, pulling back from civil engagement. COVID, pushes way farther than 6 feet apart. Not only were we pushed out of our churches and families were broken up over the thing and the politics were so divisive, we just forgot what was most important to us, those unifying things that are really the sinew of America. Yes, it's the American dream, but really what undergirded that were the values. The American governance comes from Americans' hearts outward, and that's really a bottom-up government. We're not a top-down government whatsoever. And I mean, the French philosopher Tocqueville, who came over here after I don't know how many republics they tried early or about mid-1800s, that was his takeaway. And he reported that back to France, and they couldn't figure it out because they didn't have that, divine dividend for them. They were, they kept on trying to do the secular version. So America needs to figure out what has worked for so long and has really risen the watermark for the entire world. Now, we've messed things up again and again. And like men and women, we are fallible and we make mistakes. And that's why we need transparency in government. So American citizens can hold our government to account. Talk about the border. Our government has messaged to the world, with us really unwitting, unknowing, come on in, that we have financed nonprofit organizations that are pointing the way north and handing out maps and helping them along the way. And then we're using the CBP1 app to facilitate illegal entry into the United States. We are flying folks in. Similarly, if they can't cross at the border and satisfy those requirements, we say, no problem, we'll just fly you in. We won't even hit the port of entry at the land.
Let me ask you here, in conclusion, if you have a message for District 28, what is that message as a candidate?
Thanks, George. I have a message. What I keep encountering again and again and again is that the good folks of District 28 are really the key to this country. And the thrust of that is the Hispanic population. What is just inherent in the Hispanic culture, if I might, is God first, family first, provide generations for my family. I care about my legacy and my children's, success, beyond me. If we could get back to that, I really think District 28 and through those and those ethics, permeate the entire district. I mean, that's not just the Hispanic court, but that's the dividend we have from a people that have held on to those things that we need to be reminded of as a country. And so I really think, and as this population grows through our country, I think that is a key to coming back to America First principles. We are an immigrant country. That is our secret sauce. But the way we've done it since Biden took office was the most reckless way possible. This messaging has drawn people through a meat grinder of humanity. And people need to understand it's not the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, they're crossing into. I mean, the image they need to burn their head is a rape tree and discard its piles of just, bodies on south of the border. And that's just the human toll. And they arrive in second-class citizenry. The modern-day American slavery, because the cartels know who they are, and they know where Abuela and Tio live south. And they can leverage them in the interior, and they do, and they're peeled off into illicit trades. And then the U.S. employer e-verify system is broken, I think, for a reason, because they can take advantage of this underclass, and that's not the American experience. So these people, we brought them in to do a few things for us, but really we are taking advantage of them. So we need to settle that very quickly. It's a huge problem, and just from a military standpoint. All of our borders, the new Maginot Line, all of our enemies of significance are mustered south of our border. We are being undone through this weapon of modern warfare, which is called, weaponized illegal mass migration. And we've ingested as a country a human bomb. And inside this human bomb, the terrorists are embedded. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. And it'll just take a spark, a George Floyd spark, an Archduke Ferdinand spark, a riot on campus spark to ignite this huddled mass that's in all of our greatest cities right now to distract us and to then cause a moment for the government to come in and have another big, you know, saving solution that will tear us apart like COVID did. And I honestly believe that, you know, this could be a gun grab in the end. Every country that I've operated in that have lost, every westernized country, every God-fearing country I've been in that willingly turned over their guns, I'm thinking of UK, I'm thinking Australia, have lost their sovereignty. Not long after they turned in their guns. I mean, effectively lost their sovereignty. Those aren't the same countries right now.
Folks, we've been speaking with Commander Jay Furman, who is running for District 28. Commander, thank you very much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you, George. My privilege. Many blessings.